is WHYY's Morning Edition. Good morning. I'm Jennifer Lynn. On this anniversary of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s death, his voice still resonates.
Somewhere I read that the greatness of America is the right to protest far right.
As for King's image, it's unfailing. In old photos, film, and in sculpture, Zenos Fordakis has had a hand in that. He's been creating lifelike sculptures of the slain civil rights leader since the 1980s. There are 10 in public spaces, including one in Chester, another in South Africa, and a new one is going to a sculpture garden abroad where King will hold court with Gandhi and Mandela. The location has not been revealed publicly. Fordakis' freedom sculpture at 16th and Vine in Philadelphia shows the human form incrementally peeling out of a wall. He pairs a miniature version of that with his newest King, a study of which he showed me at his studio in Glenside, where we spoke about his working from photographs to create King in clay.
You see all these photographs, and these are only some of them. There are as many down there on the floor. And I set them up so I could almost have him standing here from this profile, looking at the right side of his face, moving around to the three quarters to the front of his face, and to the other profile on the left, you see?
So we're in like this panorama of photos of Martin Luther King right now.
It's almost like wallpaper, right? It's all the way around. But what I'm trying to get a sense of him standing here next to me, which I would have if he was alive, and I would walk around him, and I would turn him so I could see him from all directions.
What I love about these pictures is he almost always looks like he's about to speak, or he is speaking. And then when I look at the sculpture study that you've made, I have the same feeling. Okay. You know, he has, you can see his eyebrows are pressed down, his eyes are wide open, he's looking like he's formulating a statement. Is that important to what this looks like?
It is, and you have to make decisions constantly. There are aesthetic decisions. You get to that, you know, road, and you decide, do I take this one to the left or I take this one to the right? And each road leads you to another road, and you get further to where you want to go with it. It's kind of intuitive, but you can see in some of the pictures there are more of a frown. Some of them you don't see it as much. Some of the pictures are probably touched up. All the pictures are done with one eye. I'm working with two. And I'm aware of the distortion. There's always a little distortion.
You have to make him three-dimensional. You have to bring him back to life.
That's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to bring him back to life. And though I know in some ways it's futile, but if I can bring him back to life, then maybe for some people who see him, especially where it's sculptures eventually going to go, and especially for people who didn't know him, younger people, it gives them a sense of what he was like a little bit, I hope. If it has life, it gives them a sense of him as a living person.
There's a tone to this sculpture. Tell me about that.
Well, I'm trying to get a sense of intensity in his eyes and intelligence. You know, that history kind of found him in Montgomery, you know, with the bus boycott and everything, and he grew into the historical moment. You know, if that hadn't happened, I don't know who he would have been. You know, you get the sense of how a person can be at the right place at the right time. And it doesn't just make him, he makes the history. And I wanted to get a sense of that. I wanted to get a sense of his eyes. They kind of go up at the ends a little bit. And he has these little ears. Do you see them?
Yeah. I never really noticed his ears before.
Yeah, and they're very, they pinch right there, see? And these are all, like, when I look at this, it's almost like me walking over a landscape. You know, what are the words? I mean, I know zygomatic arch.
You're touching him right now as you're talking.
Yes. And even though, you know, there are words for some of this, you know, the nasal bone and the maxillary and the zygomatic bone, and it's not the words, it's the shapes. It's almost like you have to walk over this landscape, and I've walked it, you see?
What is he saying?
Depending on who sees it, he'll say something differently to them. But for me, when I look at it, he's talking about the struggle for freedom, like my freedom sculpture. He's talking about a struggle for people who don't have as much freedom as others. Gosh, you can see the pathos in his face, and some of these, but you can also see the strength, and you see some sensuality. Shiny black eyes. You can see those eyes are very, very bright.
How hard is it to do eyes?
Eyes are very, they're difficult. And, you know, we're very judgmental of eyes because we look at each other in the eyes. And so if that's not right, people notice that right away usually.
What would he say?
What would he say? I would like to think he would be pleased to be remembered for his self because of what he stood for and what he died for. What he lived for, what he died for.
I see a couple of pictures in this sort of surround soundscape of photos everywhere on the walls here. of Dr. Martin Luther King. There are maybe two where he actually has a slight look of levity on his face.
Oh.
I've never seen him portrayed like that in your work. Is that something you wish you could capture in him?
I'm probably too serious. And, you know, you do, as an artist, you project some of yourself, and when you sculpt someone, it's part of you and part of them. There's kind of an intersection between the two of you, and that's where the art is, you know, the experience, whatever experience it is. You're painting a landscape. There's a landscape is there, you're here, and where you overlap, that's the piece, that's the painting, and that's what these are. This is my impression, my experience of him through my senses.
So this is King and you, this piece.
And everyone else who experiences it and brings themselves to it.
We spoke on the phone briefly before we set up this interview, and you said working on King is one of the hardest things for you.
King has been the most difficult person I've ever had to sculpt. There's a subtlety about his face, and again, maybe because you don't have the great voice to go with it, and the presence that you see in video and in photographs, it's very, very difficult. I think that after all the Kings I've made, I think this last one is my best. I finally feel like I'm getting to know him.
To see some of Zenos Fordakis's Kings, go to zenosfordakis.com. That's ZenosFordakis. It's Morning Edition on WHYY.